Take your Bibles and turn back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And my text will be found in verse 9. Text is found in verse 9. The scripture says, "And he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail." And we have before us tonight this prayer of Hannah. And I know this, that every believer in Jesus Christ, we all read this, we identify with everything this woman prayed, with everything she says. She says, "My heart is enlarged. My heart is enlarged. I rejoice in the Lord. My horn is exalted." What is she saying? I rejoice because Christ is exalted. The word horn has to do with strength. My strength is exalted. She rejoices in thy salvation. She rejoiced in the salvation of the Lord. She rejoiced in his holy character, his attribute of holiness. There's none holy like the Lord. There's none beside thee that's holy. When you think of the holiness of God, you think of the justice of God. And why we praise God for his justice? Because God is not only just, he is also our refuge from that justice, isn't he? He's just, but listen, he's a rock. He's a refuge. We rejoice in that. Every believer is humble. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. Isn't this the heart of every believer? We have no arrogancy. We have nothing to be proud of. Nothing in self to rejoice in. So what do we say to ourselves? Don't let any of that come out. Why? For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and in him and by him actions are weighed. We rejoice in this, the bows of the mighty are broken. And they that stumbled are girded with strength. Which are you? The mighty? We were. What did he do with our bow? He broke it. We stumbled. And what did he do? He girded us with strength. Isn't he gracious? They that were full... hired themselves out for bread. Those that are self-righteous, what are they? Empty. And they that were hungry have ceased. In other words, there's no more work for us. We've ceased working for bread. Why, Christ is the bread of life for us. They that are barren have borne seven, and they that have many children are waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. He maketh poor and he maketh rich. He bringeth low and he lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill and set them among princes to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Every believer can identify with this prayer. We were the beggar in the dunghill. Isn't that where God found you? It's where he found me. I thought I was rich, and what did he do? He made me poor. He showed me my poverty. And then he exalted me to sit upon throne. Where are you tonight? Aren't you seated with Christ? Scripture says that we are seated in the heavens with Christ. Every believer, we know this. We know we were dead. Lord killeth. What did he do? Maketh alive. You that were dead, you now live. This is the work of the Lord, and we rejoice in his salvation. And so then this promise found in verse 9, which we're going to look at tonight, the keeping of our feet. The Lord promises his saints, he will keep the feet of his saints. This is a promise. As we look at this promise, we must be reminded that all of the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. Isn't that so? Name one promise that's not yea and amen. This is one of them. This is one of them. The promise that shall not fail. It is a promise that cannot fail. It is absolute and it is unconditional. In other words, it is not dependent upon the object to keep it. It's not the Lord shall keep the feet of his saints with their cooperation. No, it is simply this. The Lord shall keep the feet of his saints. But I want you to see also that this promise then is only limited in one capacity, in scope. The Lord shall keep the feet of only one group of people. The promise is intended for only the saints. Only the saints of God. That is, the keeping of the Lord is only for the saints. But inside of this group, it is all inclusive. If you are one of his saints, it does not matter in what condition you are in. The promise is to you. It is all inclusive to all the saints. It is not confined to poor and needy saints or just the hungry and thirsty saints, but includes the whole family of God, regardless of our present condition. How often does our condition change? How often does our circumstance change? But you see that this promise is not contingent upon your circumstance or even your feelings about it. It has nothing to do with you. It is the promise of God for you, regardless of where you are in this life. I want to, by the grace of God, tonight, I want to show you this. I want to show you, first of all, who the saints of God are. It's very important since it's only to this group. You have to know who they are. And secondly, I want us to see how the Lord will fulfill this promise. In what way will he fulfill this promise? So first of all, who are the saints of God? Well, the word saints means simply this, sanctified ones. That's what it means. It means holy ones. All the saints are sanctified ones. They're sanctified, as we're going to see, not by their works or by their obedience, but by God. You that are the saints of God, tell me what part you had in that. At what point do you add your work into this matter of being a saint? Well, the answer is, it's not our work. We who are saints recognize this. It is not our work. It is the work of God alone. I want us to show us three things about these saints. First of all, they are sanctified by God the Father. They are sanctified by God the Father in sovereign election. They are set apart, consecrated by the decree of God the Father. Over in Jude verse 1, it says this, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. You who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you who are called, you recognize this, that you were preserved in Christ. You were represented by Jesus Christ. But before that, we must recognize the root of our sanctification is of the Father. The Father sanctified us in this matter of election. We're sanctified by the Father. The election of the Father then precedes our preservation in Christ and our calling of the Spirit. Paul tells us this truth, but of God are you in Christ Jesus. You who are sanctified by God the Father, you're sanctified in this way that God has put you into union with His Son and made Him to be all your wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. You're put in Christ. It was the love of the Father that sanctified us and put us there, and it was the wisdom of the Father that planned and purposed our holiness and salvation. You being a saint was no accident. It was purposed of the Father. You were sanctified. You were made a saint by the sovereign election of the Father. In Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, he tells him, he says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth from the womb, I sanctified thee. This is the work of God the Father. Every time I hear men rejecting the sovereign election of the Father, they make His election conditional on something. They make their sainthood conditional on something. To me, it is the most grotesque thing. For I know that had God not set me apart, had God not purposed that I should be holy, I would have never been holy. I would have never come to Him. Had He not chosen me, I never would have chosen Him. This is what saints know about themselves. And I tell you the truth that all who are not sanctified by the Father in election and put into union with Christ, get this, there is not anything they can do to make themselves saints. There is nothing they can do to sanctify themselves. Nothing. Was there anything Esau could have done to sanctify himself? No. We know this, that only those chosen of the Father are sanctified. They're sanctified by the Father. Secondly, we are sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sanctified by the work of the Son. Now, we were sanctified in Christ before the world began. We were set apart by the Father in union with Christ. So then when the Son became our surety, He became a surety of the covenant of grace in and from eternity. It was always the purpose of God that all His saints, this was the eternal purpose of God in sanctifying us, was that we should be made holy. That's the purpose. You sum up the covenant is in that by Jesus Christ, we should be made holy. That was His plan. That was His decree. Therefore, as Jesus came into the world as a man, we were sanctified by His obedience and death. We were made saints. We were sanctified, made holy by His obedience and blood. Consider His obedience. Was it not holiness? He was perfectly holy in obeying the law of God. And by His obedience, we who He represented were made holy, righteous. And secondly, we were sanctified by His blood. when he bare our sins in his own body on the tree, he was doing this so that we should be made holy. Behold the Lamb of God, as he suffered the justice of God for our sins, so by his righteousness and blood we are forever sanctified. We are sanctified. You go over to Hebrews, we'll look at a couple of places in Hebrews. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And so by faith we see that Jesus Christ then, as God ordained him to be, all our sanctification. You see, we're made saints by his offering, by his blood offering. Isn't that true, that Christ is all my sanctification? Can we say that? Yeah, I can say it because the scriptures are very clear. He is all my sanctification. You know, when he said, but of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Every believer believes that Christ is all my wisdom. Don't you believe that? He's all my wisdom. When some lost person or someone who professes to believe, and they think when you say that Christ is our wisdom, they think that wisdom is something they get by academic learning or by this, that I can be wise. And believer simply knows this, that Christ is all my wisdom. My wisdom doesn't come by academic understanding. My wisdom is Christ. He's the wisdom of God. He's all our wisdom. He's all our righteousness. What believer doesn't believe that Christ is all my righteousness? He's all my righteousness. When the lost person says, well, Christ is our righteousness, he's still going about trying to establish his own righteousness. He thinks righteousness is something that he has to contribute. Believer don't believe that. Saints of God don't believe that. We know this. He's all my righteousness. What about redemption? Is he not all our redemption? Lost people think of redemption, they think that there's some price they got to pay, some penance they got to do. But the believer simply knows this, Christ is all my righteousness. And so then we go to the last, sanctification. Christ is all my sanctification. He's all of it. I dare not add or try to contribute to that sanctification. There in Hebrews, look over a couple of pages. We know this one pretty much by heart in verse 10. This confirms both of the things that I have just told you, that you who are saints have been sanctified by the Father and you've been sanctified by the Son. Look at verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified. What will is that? It is the will of God. He's speaking about the will of God. Christ said, I came to do thy will, O God. By the which will? By the will of God, the will of the Father, that you be sanctified. You are what? Sanctified. And then secondly, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, how many times are we sanctified? Once. Every high priest standeth daily ministering, often the same time sacrifices, never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are what? Sanctified. Those who are called by the Spirit of God. We're going to get to that one in just a minute. But that's it. Sanctification then is the work of God. And we see that. You are saints. You are saints of God. By the will of God. By the blood of Jesus Christ. You are sanctified ones. And thirdly, sanctification is the work of the Spirit. And we by nature would dare not confess that by nature We are holy ones. We are not born holy. We are born unholy. We are born unclean. We are born unrighteous. And we come into this world, there is no experimental union between us and Christ. We have not experienced any union. We have no confidence that there is any union between us and Christ because we've never experienced it. We had no love for God, no faith in Christ, and no hope of making ourselves saints. No hope of it. But God, who chose us, sanctified us in election, the Son redeemed us with His precious blood, has also purposed to sanctify us by the power and grace of the Holy Spirit. We who were sanctified by the election of the Father and the blood of Christ, when we came in this world, we had not yet been sanctified. But when God the Holy Spirit at the time of love comes to every believer, it is at that moment you are experimentally sanctified. You now experience what has already taken place. Now, I didn't know it. I didn't know I was sanctified. I didn't know I was chosen. I didn't know I was redeemed until the moment the Spirit came in power and made me a partaker of the divine nature. What Peter says of this, he says you are made partakers. You might be partakers of the divine nature. And so this is what it is to be born again. At the time appointed, the Spirit of God, what the Spirit says, has quickened us from the dead. Many different analogies God uses to show what He's done, right? Quickened from the dead. You who were blind, you now see. You who were lame, you now walk. What God has done is given us a new heart. He's given us a new mind. He's given us a new will. All three of these things consist in this. He's given us a new nature. And this nature is created after God in true holiness. I know this. Once I was without any hope of righteousness, but somebody came and preached the gospel to me. This is the means God uses by which this comes. He preached the gospel to me, opened my eyes to see my sin and need of Christ. And I know this. There were many people that heard the same message I heard. And yet God in grace opened my eyes. God in grace gave me faith. Gave me love. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Friends, this is the evidence of us being saints. Faith is the evidence that you've been chosen. Faith is the evidence of you being redeemed. Faith is the evidence of your calling. Faith is the evidence of your salvation. He gives us faith. And by this we may know this, that we are the saints of God. We are the saints of God. And so then, you saints, you sanctified ones, you that have been made holy by the will of God, the blood of Christ, and the power of the Spirit. Listen to what God promises you. Back to your text. Look at it. Here's the promise of God to you. He will keep the feet of His saints. He will keep the feet of his saints. Without exception. Without exception. All of his elect, all of his redeemed, all who are called shall be, without exception, be kept by the power of God, and none shall fail to enter into heaven. And I want you to see that this is not conditional upon you. Just not. It is the promise of God to his saints. It is the oath of God to his saints. Now, you as saints of God are not ignorant of this. You're full of trouble. Just because you are saints, as the world sees saints, they think saints are somehow floating above everybody else. Somehow saints are exempt from real difficulties, and only those people who are real sinners go through real difficulties. You must be a real bad sinner if this is happening to you. That's not what believers know. We who are saints know this. We are not exempt from trouble. We are not exempt from trials and afflictions that are common to man. Everyone who is called to faith and life in Christ, from the moment you begin to believe, you have conflict. It is at that moment your warfare begins. Everyone who is called to faith has afflictions and troubles and persecutions. The saints of God are a suffering people. Saints of God are suffering people. Jesus told us, our Lord told us, in this world you shall have, you will have, without doubt, tribulation. Know this, the world will hate you. I don't understand why I'm often confused when people don't like what I'm preaching. I'm just confused. For the life of me, I can't understand why they don't. Dummy. The Lord told you that they would hate you. They hated me before they hated you, and they will hate you. They will hate you. But you saints of God, consider that your troubles are not accidental. Your afflictions, every one of them, are of the hand of God, your Father, the one who sanctified you, the one who purposed to save you, the one that saved you, and the one that calls you, the one that keeps you. Everything you face is ordained of God. Zechariah 13 and verse 9, he said, I will bring a third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. I'm not a goldsmith. I don't know much about metals. I just know this. If you're going to purify gold, you melt it. You put it under extreme heat and you melt it, and the crud comes to the top and they rake it off. That's what God says he does with his people. And listen to what everyone who's tried is going to do. They're going to call on my name, and I'm going to hear them. They're going to call on me. Consider if you never had trouble. I can't imagine a life without trouble, because I'm sure of this. How often would I call upon God if I had no trouble? See, it's necessary for his children, so that we should call on him. And listen, his promise, I'll hear you. And listen what I'm going to tell you. He said, I will say. This is going to comfort you. Now listen, you then in trouble, you put through the fire. God says, I'm going to do it just so you call on me. And when you call on me, I'm going to hear you. And this is what I'm going to tell you. Here it is. It's my people. You're my people. Isn't that comforting? You're my people. You're my saints. You're my children. And listen to this. I am your God. Isn't that sufficient enough? What else do you need? If God is your God and you are His Son, what do you need? What do you need? Yet I know this about ourselves. I need to constantly hear this promise He's going to keep me. I need to constantly hear Him say it. I am Asaph in Psalm 73 very often. I say with Asaph, I know God is good to Israel. I know it. My soul knows it. To them that are of a clean heart, God is good. But I look in the mirror and I see this. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had nigh well slipped. Often we are brought to this point by trouble and affliction to say within our souls, surely there is no hope for me. A pastor friend of mine was preaching this similar subject, and he was using himself. And oftentimes he has doubts, fears. He was being honest with his people, not setting himself up as to be some superman. He was being honest. What Asaph feels, I feel. What David felt, I felt. And someone came up to him and said, well, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't preach the gospel. If you doubt like that, you shouldn't preach the gospel. That's arrogancy, friends. I stand in doubt of somebody who has no difficulties or trials or troubles. You name me one saint of God that didn't. In Scripture, I can't find one. They all had troubles. They all doubted. They all had fears. What's the comfort then of those who have fears? Here it is. Listen. The Lord will keep the feet of His saints. Now this word feet has two things. One is spiritual. The other is experimental. He's talking about feet. What he's talking about is our standing. Our standing before God. God shall keep my standing. And second of all, it has to do with our walking. Our walking. God will not only keep me in my standing, but He will keep me in my walking. First of all, our standing. We know this as believers in Christ, that Satan and all the foes of this world are set against us. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but if you go to Revelation chapter 12, you read about that, the woman. Satan had found himself cast down to the earth, and he went to persecute the woman. You know, the woman is the church, the saints. And the Scripture tells us that she was given two wings of a great eagle, that she should fly away, that she should not be, that she should be nourished in the wilderness. And flee from the face of the serpent. And you remember the serpent cast out of his mouth a flood so as to carry her away. And the Scripture says the earth opened up and helped the woman. And then it says this, that the dragon was wroth with the woman and made war against the remnant of her seed, which keepeth the commandments of God and hath the testimony of Jesus Christ. Friends, we are at war. But I want you to know that in the midst of all of this conflict, we, like this woman, are kept safe. Kept safe. Our standing as saints of God in Jesus Christ is kept. Like this woman, we are given two wings so that Satan in no way can touch our standing before God. The flood that came out of his mouth was accusations against the church, against God's anointed people. But be comforted, none of his accusations shall ever reach you. They shall never reach you. Remember the Lord in dealing with Satan concerning Job, how he gave him power over his family, over his property, over his earthly goods. And God said, you could take everything he has, just don't touch him. And Satan said, aha, if I take all of his stuff, surely he'll curse God. And you remember what happened? Took all of his stuff, killed his children and everything. And he would not curse God. But Satan said this, skin for skin, let me just take his health. And God said, sure, but you can't take his life. Can't take his life. Now, God removed that hedge around Job, around his body, and caused his soul to fear and doubt. And Job was moved to say many things inconsistent with faith. I'll tell you what, Job was in pain. And he said some things that were pretty horrible. You know what Job says? I'm righteous. I'm righteous. And yet look what God did to me. He complained and murmured. Now, Satan would have sought not only to drain his life, but longed to move Job from his standing before God. It's what he wanted him to do. That was his desire. That's what his desire is for you. His desire is to move you from your standing before God. But we see that none of the devices of Satan, not even the sin of Job, was able to remove him from his union with Christ. And neither is anything able to remove you from Christ. Why? He will keep the feet of his saints. He will keep your standing before God, no matter what. Let this promise now come to us who are set on Christ. To us who are chosen in Christ by election, redeemed by the blood and called by the Spirit. Nothing shall move you from your standing before God. Our Lord Jesus Christ said this, I know my sheep, they hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life. And what's the result of that? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Paul made this in Romans 8. He made that declaration. He said, you know, what we'll say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Name one thing be against you that is able to remove you from the love of Christ. Name it. Anything. No. What about accusations of sin? Well, it's God that justified me. Yea, rather, it's Christ. There's no condemnation because Christ died for me. So then the question is, who can separate me? Who can remove me from my holy standing before God? The standing that God the Father purposed, the standing that Jesus Christ purchased, the standing that the Holy Spirit imparted to me. Who can move me from it? He said, neither height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creatures, just name it, angels, nothing, shall remove me or separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's what he means when he said he'll keep the feet of his saints. Nothing shall remove you from your standing before God. I'll give you an illustration of this. Remember Joshua the high priest, Zechariah? Go to Zechariah. I'm not going to get done to the rest of this, so just go to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, and look at verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, here's Satan, he's standing at the right hand here of Joshua, ready to rebuke him, ready to accuse him before God. And here the Lord Jesus Christ said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord which hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now look at old Joshua. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Joshua was a high priest. He was supposed to have white robes. Here he was, filthy. What did that have to do with his standing before God? To him, it felt like it was really a grave issue. Satan thought it was a point by which he could remove it. But the Lord Jesus Christ here intervening, he answered and spake to those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre on his head. So they set a fair mitre on his head and clothed him with garments. And notice these last words. And the angel of the Lord stood by. You know what that means? He made sure it happened. He just didn't tell these boys to get the robe and get the crown and then just walk away. He stood by, made sure it was done. What in the world, believer, do you have to do with your standing before God? Nothing. Your standing was something God purposed. Your standing was something Christ purchased. And your standing is something the Holy Spirit has given you. And listen, He will keep your standing before God. This is my hope. This is my hope. And the last thing it means this, our feet are not only for standing, but for walking. Every saint of God is born again of the Spirit. We have the incorruptible nature, but we do not deny that we still have this old man of sin. This causes our doubts. This causes our fears. This causes our calamities. When we are walking by faith, we often stumble. We often fall. But know this, in our walking, this is His promise that He will keep us in the way. He will keep us in the way. I wrote this song down. I thought it was good. For me, it says, on Christ by faith I fain would live. I really want to live by faith, don't you? I believe, Lord help my unbelief. On Christ by faith I fain would live. From Him my life, my all receive. To him devote my fleeting hours. Serve him alone with all my powers. Christ is my everlasting all. To him I look, on him I call. He will my priceless treasure be in time and through eternity. Soon will the Lord my life appear. Soon shall I end my trials of tears. Leave sin and sorrow, death and pain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. So as we saints walk through this howling wilderness, we are very aware of our enemies and we are surrounded by our foes. Though Satan cannot remove our feet from the rock of ages, he may in consequence cause us to stumble and fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Therefore, the believer, as we walk, we should walk circumspectly, Paul said. We should walk carefully. How is it the believer should walk? By what rule? Simply this: faith and love. This is our commandments. This is our commandments. It is the commandment of Christ to every saint: believe on me. When? When did you believe on Christ? In every situation, in every providence, in light and in dark, to trust him in every way. To lean wholly upon his strength to keep you. And we are to love. That's how we're to walk. We are to love the brethren. How am I to love you? As I'm walking, how am I to love you? As Christ. You stumble with that? I do. I want to love you like that. I want to believe with all my soul. I want to believe more. But I stumble. I fall. I fail miserably. What is my hope in all my stumbling and all my failing? What is my hope? God will keep the feet of his saints all the way to glory. God's people do stumble and fall, but he never leaves us there, does he? He never leaves us doubting. When we doubt, what does he give us? He gives us faith. When we are unlovable, what does he give us? He gives us love. This is my hope. As Peter said, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Kept. This is a promise. It's a promise to his saints, sanctified ones, sanctified by the Father, sanctified by the Son, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And to his saints, he says, I'm going to keep your feet. I'm going to keep your standing before me. And I'm going to keep you all the way to glory. I had to give you a little bit of encouragement. I've seen this week. I received a call from a brother that I have not heard in many, many years. Matter of fact, when he left, it was very difficult. He left, seemed he had left the gospel. That's what I thought. I got a call 2 days ago from this brethren. He said, you were on my heart, and I thought I'd call you. And tell you, I still listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I still believe. You know why he still believes? Does it matter what I thought? Does it matter what I felt? No. No, because God's promise to him was the same promise he gave me. I will keep your feet and you will not fall. That's his promise to you. And so when your feet nigh well slip, listen, hold fast his promise. You know, Asaph thought his foot had slipped, thought he'd fail. David said, are you going to forsake me forever? Of course not, David. Asaph, your feet are just fine. You may feel like they slipped, but they ain't slipped. Why? I'm keeping them. I'm keeping them. I pray God will help you and let you hold on to this and find great comfort in it. This is a promise of God, isn't it? What is it? Who cares if the whole world burns? I said, I ain't going to let your feet go. Good news. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Gracious Father, dismiss us with your blessing. Pour out your Spirit to us. Thank you for giving us this salvation. Thank you for giving us this life and faith. I pray you'd make this word effectual to the hearts of your people and see what great care you've taken not only to save us but to keep us. Do this for your own glory in Jesus' name.